Glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life, of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large, because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So with Srila Prabhupada's permission, we will skip ahead, just because we want to get a grasp of the full purport of the Shikshasutra. If we had 8 days, we would try to cover each one verse each day, but we don't have that time because of our busy schedules. And we went up to verse 3, so we'll go to verse 7. I don't think this is disobeying the instructions of our acharyas, don't jump over, because in our discourses we've actually covered most, if not all, of the subject matter of the first 4 or 5 verses. And we need to know again what is the goal of pure devotional service, so we can remain inspired and determined. Eke Guru Nandana, focused on the goal, we can remain determined to achieve it. So this verse, O Govinda, feeling your separation, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I feel all vacant in the world in your absence. This verse is essential to our understanding of Krishna consciousness because it reveals a most advanced stage called Vipralamba, Bhav, or where the devotee comes to the, because he's so attached to Krishna, if Krishna goes away, like he does sometimes, the devotee feels intense separation from the Lord. And by that separation, his connection actually becomes stronger. Of course, a first question might be, why do we have to feel separation? We're spending our whole lives, you know, trying to get attached, isn't it? We discussed that yesterday. We mentioned the word reglio, which the verb, Latin verb reglio, which the word religion comes from the Latin verb reglio, which means to reestablish the connection, or yoga, which means the same principle, to become, to attach, yoga, to make connection with yoga. So we spend our whole lives, you know, desperately trying to reconnect with Krishna. And here we're talking about separation? Like what? Well, as is often the case with Krishna, after spending time with his true devotees, he does go away from that. But again, that causes his devotees to become more attached. There's that often used mundane quote, but you know, you can take gold from a filthy place, you can take knowledge from a fool if he's speaking Krishna Katha, and you can marry a girl, and if she comes from a lower caste, she's just wonderfully Krishna conscious, says Chanaka Pandit. So there's a nice, I don't want to call it a shloka, we'll call it a slogan. That's a good word. Shloka and slogan. So sometimes Prabhupada would quote materialists that was applicable to what he was discussing. So, what did they say? Separation makes the heart grow fonder. Just like when I leave here and remembering all you and the kirtans, I hanker to come back for the festival next year. So, separation makes the heart grow fonder. When your love is away for any significant time, your love, your attachment for them, it naturally grows. And when you meet again, whoa, that sambhoga that you use so sweet is so nice. Your attachments become stronger. So Krishna is very intelligent. It's all about rasa, developing these deeper, true emotions of love. So he uses this technique. Sometimes he disappears. And the devotees become more attached. It may appear to be a little cruel, like when Akura came to take Krishna away from Vrindavan to go to Mathura for the wrestling match, and ultimately for Kamsa to meet his demise, then the gopis address them as such. You're cruel. Your name means you're so cruel for taking away our beloved Krishna. But actually it wasn't so cruel, because the gopis, in their feelings of separation for Krishna, it increased their constant remembrance, and by remembering Krishna, one becomes happy. We experience that this festival. Whenever we talk about Krishna, we feel happy. Whenever we've seen Krishna, whenever there's something related to Krishna, it brings joy to our hearts. That's our natural constitutional position, to always be connected to Krishna through service. That's how we're happy. So in separation, the residents of Vrindavan, they're in very deep remembrance, and that brings them joy. It's a little hard to understand these things. It's quite esoteric, but that's the philosophy. The acharyas, they further explain that when you're with someone, you can be experiencing one or two of the qualities of the... You're doing one thing together. You're cooking, you're chatting, you're walking. So you're experiencing one aspect of that person's personality. You know what it's like when someone goes away. In a single moment, your mind can be flooded with so many remembrances of that person's name, fame, paraphernalia, qualities, isn't it? In a second, your mind is so quick, you're thinking like that. So when the residents of Vrindavan are with Krishna, they're enjoying a single pastime, a single moment, a single emotion. But then when Krishna goes away, then in a single moment, a separation, so many thoughts are coming. So they become even more absorbed. More absorbed in Krishna. And that way they're, in a subtle way, they're connected. In Padyavali, Sri Rupa Goswami cites a very wonderful verse. He said, if I have to choose between union with Krishna and separation from him, I would choose separation. Because when I am with Krishna, I see only one Krishna. But when I am separated from him, then I see Krishna coming toward me from every corner of the universe. That's Rupa Goswami. I'm trying to explain it. He eloquence the truth book in just a few lines. Rupa Goswami says, if I had to choose between union with Krishna and separation from him, I would choose separation. Because when I am with Krishna, I see only one Krishna, but when I am separated from him, then I see Krishna coming towards me from every corner of the universe. So because of this, our acharyas conclude that separation is even higher than meeting. It causes a flood of ecstasy. And what is that ecstasy? One time, a young devotee, after a kirtan, he said to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, that was ecstatic. And Prabhupada said, you do not even know yet what is ecstasy. We're just like, you know, when you first wake up, your eyes are adjusting to the light. And then they become clear, and then you put on your glasses. Oh, now I see. So what we're experiencing now in devotional service is, you know, in many ways it's just a relief from the distress of all our sinful activities. And the higher stages of ecstasy come when the heart is completely purified. One time Prabhupada said, real bhakti is only experienced at that stage when one is freed from sex desire. So a lot of our happiness is just, actually Rupa Goswami describes in Nectar Devotion that the first symptom that one is on the proper path of devotional service is that one feels an immediate relief from the torture of material existence. But still, by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of Prabhupada, the holy name, we're breaking through to the other side. We're getting a glimpse, and that glimpse is enough to keep us going. But what is the ecstasy? What's waiting for us down the line if we remain properly situated on this path of sadhana bhakti? What is it that we might experience in the advanced stages? Well, Mahaprabhu very kindly describes, there's eight symptoms of love of God, but in this verse, Mahaprabhu zeroes in on three particular ecstasy. So we're just looking at a distance, just like you're appreciating Mount Warning from a distance. I don't know if I want to climb that guy and get the top there, but I'm appreciating from a distance. So we can appreciate and respect and pray for these later stages where we're so pure that our activities please Krishna to the point where some ecstatic symptoms come. So he zeroes in on three particular ecstasies. We call them sattvika bhavas, as they're technically called. So he reveals three in this verse of Shikshasakam. The first one is Nayanam Galat Ashru Dharaya. That sometimes streams of tears run down from the eyes. Just like Jesus gave a little hint. Jesus gave more hints than actual deep knowledge because he told his followers, I have more to tell you, but you're not ready for it. Neither are we so ready, but Prabhupada's so merciful, he's revealing everything. So Nayanam Galat Ashru Dharaya. When one comes to that ecstatic stage, then you'll know, oh, look, tears are streaming from his eyes like torrents of rain. Like Jesus said, my cup runneth over with love. So generally the pure devotees, they keep these things hidden from the general public because they don't want to be followed. You know, they don't want cheap adoration. They don't want people to imitate them. They want people to follow them for that divya gyan, that transcendental knowledge they're giving and take up the steps and 1, 2, 3, 4 advance in Krishna consciousness. So they try to withhold these symptoms so people don't worship them just for that. But sometimes it can't be held back. The spirit is more powerful than matter, so sometimes these emotions just pour from the eyes. Remember, I've told you many times, my disciples, for me the most convincing moment in my career as a devotee, which gave me the most, whatever little doubts I had, immediately washed away by Prabhupada's tears. He was on the Vyasasan in Paris in 1974. He'd been away for a year. He'd installed the deities of Radha Parashishwara. And then he came back the next year and he took darshan of them. His eyes were very bright. We tried our best to worship his lords. And he sat down on the Vyasasan some distance away. And he began the morning program class, and he was chanting Jaya Radha Madhava and looking at Radha Parashishwara. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopiyana Bhava Giri Radha Gandhi. Prabhupada said this song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes everything about Vrindavan. The residence, the relationship with Krishna, the loving sentiments. Actually this, it's such a deep song we don't sing it in the Gaudiya Math. The Prabhupada felt that the world should know. So he's chanting like that. I remember he got Gopi Jana, and then his hands started trembling and dropped the kartals. And I thought my guru is having a stroke. And then I realized this is not a stroke. I'm looking at the ecstatic symptoms of the pure devotee who's immersed in Vrindavan love. And I just stood there and I watched the tears. Nayanam Galat Ashru Dharaya. And that, you know, that convinced me. That was enough. Yes. I'm on the right path, following the footsteps of my spiritual master. So tears stream down, and the tears weren't coming like, you know, we cried. They were kind of coming out like that. They weren't touching his face. They were going onto his top piece. And I looked, and I saw it's wet. So how fortunate we are to have seen or to hear, because hearing is as good as seeing. Chakshudani. A devotee of the Lord, he doesn't see with his eyes, he sees through his ears. That's enough evidence. We can experience, you know, what it was like when Krishna was here 5,000 years ago. We weren't there, but with this Shabda Brahma, this transcendental sound vibration is non-different. So just by hearing the pastimes of the Lord, just by hearing about Him, our love for Him becomes manifest. Hearing is so important. Rukmini never met Krishna. She just heard about Krishna from the visiting sadhus who came through the palace of her pita, King Rukma. And by hearing her love for him fully manifest, and when her dad wanted to marry her to Shishapal, she freaked out. No way! I've given my heart to Krishna. When a girl gives her heart to a boy, she's, by her nature, feminine nature, she can't take it back. So she wrote a letter to Krishna. Krishna's on a battlefield. You can imagine how what it's like, and you're fighting, totally absorbed in fighting, defending yourself, and trying to go, and a messenger comes, there's a letter for you. Like, what? Okay, stop the war. No. Krishna is Yogeshwara, the master of all mystic powers. He somehow is open letter. She explained the situation. I've given my heart to you. I cannot give it to another man. Come rescue me. So Krishna left the battlefield. You leave a battlefield, that's called the Ranchor. It means a coward who's left the battle. But the devotees glorify Krishna for being Ranchor, for being a coward. Because why did he leave the battlefield? For the pleasure of his devotee. Just like the gopis give up everything, even their reputations, for the pleasure of Krishna. So Krishna is equal. Love is a two-way street. He gave up his title, the Supreme Personality of God. The controller, the powerful king. And he left. Of course, he'd already defeated Jarasandha 17 times. And there's a temple in Gujarat called the Ranchor. It's the most prominent temple in that region of India. He's glorified. He gave up everything for his devotees, just like devotees give up everything. This is love. Love means you give more than you take. And if you don't take anything and just give everything, that's the gopi's love, the Brajvasi's love. And that endears Krishna so much to you. And you become endeared to Krishna because of that. Prabhupada said one time, speaking, I was mentioning, you know, the different types of love in Krishna consciousness. And one time Prabhupada was describing the love of the devotees for Lord Varaha, with Varaha's appearance today. And then Prabhupada just very quickly went ahead and said, but the gopis, they never asked Krishna for anything. And then he broke down crying. He couldn't finish the lecture like that. So these tears are some, you know, to mention today, we told the students down below, that they said, why do you dress like this? I said, well, one external appearance is a sign of one's internal consciousness. You dress according to your internal beliefs and consciousness. I said, we dress like this because we're devotees to the Lord. And people see this and they approach us. They don't ask silly questions. They ask us, okay, I mean, who am I? So one's external appearance reflects one's internal consciousness. So externally, if we see tears flowing from the eyes of the devotee, we can understand how he's achieved this exalted stage. Anything more? Yes? Bandhanam gadgada udhayam gira. One's voice falters and he becomes choked up. Oh, I'd like to... Sometimes we see that. You can see these things even in the material world, but in a reflected way, like the sun is reflected in the water. It looks pretty powerful, but does the reflection equal the original object? No. So this material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So all these emotions, they're here in the material world because they're there in the spiritual world. But there they're pure, and here they're contaminated. Because when we fall from the spiritual world, just like a raindrop falls from the sky, it's pure, but then it hits the ground, it becomes muddy. So you have to distill it and make it pure again. Here in Australia, you have this rainwater, you collect the rainwater. It's considered very pure in many different places. So we're like the rainwater. We came from a spiritual sky and we became contaminated. So we have, what's the purification? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So I was watching a video of President Obama, my president. Conditioned soul became American. But I was watching, because he's a good speaker, and you know, there's certain techniques. Of course, our speaking should just come from the heart, but there's also a way to present things. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's a proper way for doing things, even in this world. the Vedic literature gives us the proper way to live so that we have time to chant Hare Krishna. So President Obama is a very good speaker, so I often watch his presentations, State of the Union address, and I guess you can learn. And sometimes he chokes up. He'll speak about, you know, gun control, how so many criminals are, you know, nowadays they just go into schools and to businesses and it's probably even such a horrible thing. And he chokes up because he feels so strongly about it. But the devotee, his consciousness is Krishna, everything's related to Krishna, so he chokes up when he speaks about his beloved Lord. And Pulakaya Nichitam Vapu. Pulakaya Nichitam Vapu. This is one of the three ecstasies that Mahaprabhu reveals in this particular verse of Shrikshastika, which means the hairs on one's body stand on end. Maybe you've been in a particular kirtan or met somebody, you know, and you just, and you look at your hairs, they're standing on end. So that's the perfection, is that for those true lovers of Krishna, they just, anything connected to Krishna, these Nayanam Galashudaraya Vandanam Kapaja Dayangira Pulakaya Nichitam Babu. So we can expect such symptoms. We can hope for. Actually, Mahaprabhu, he's teaching us the process of devotional service. He's the Lord in the role of the devotee. Example is higher than precept. So he, in the mood of a devotee, he says, Kadabha Vishyati. When will this occur? When or when will that day be mine? Bhaktivinoda Thakura also mirrors that sentiment. We don't have it, but we want it. That's what I want. I don't want Nadaman Najanam Nusundari and Kavicham Vada Gadisha Kamae Mama Jamini Jamini. I know what I don't want and I know what I want. As recorded by Marley. We know who we are, we know where we're going. Exodus. But we know what we don't want. We don't want mundane things. We don't want illicit connection with the opposite sex. Grihastha life is encouraged in Krishna consciousness. The process of gradual purification. We're not speaking about grihastha life, household life. In this world, every man wants a woman and a woman wants a man. But if you purify that, if you spiritualize that, then the couple works together to encourage each other to attain this higher goal. It's actually considered the safest position to be a grihastha. Many hands make small work. You see the families here? These children, I always talk about the children. The children inspire me, my own Krishna consciousness. There's so many wonderful families. I went to Narottam and Lisa's house, and a little nearby, oh, that kid. You look at her, you go, wow, where's she coming from? We had a grain giving ceremony. She was so, she was posing for the photograph. She was 6 months posing. So like that, we know what we don't want. We don't want, you know, material objects to make it. We don't want illicit sex. We don't want the subtlety, the subtle material things, like to be known as a great devotee, to be worshipped. Like if we know what we want. This is what we want. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years. Tears are flowing from my eyes. And all that. This, we're hankering for this. So we're hankering for it. We really want it, and we're trying for it, and we can get it. Mahaprabhu, he's in that mood. This, I know what I want. Kada bhavishyati. It's a very important part of the verse. Kada bhavishyati. Kada bhavishyati. Kada bhavishyati. He says, when will this happen? I've been in the movement for 1 year. I've been in the movement for 10 years. I've been in the movement for 45 years. I don't cry. Tears don't come. Nayanam Galada Shrudharaya. It's not happening. I'm looking in the mirror. Hare Krishna. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, everything's explained. There's no question unanswered in Krishna consciousness. It's the beauty of our philosophy. Any question you have at any stage. Why? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, if tears don't come to your eyes upon chanting Hare Krishna, it means you're still guilty of committing one or more of the 10 offenses. Oh, so you know why. So therefore every morning we recount, we repeat the 10 offenses to the Lord, and we don't just do it mechanically. You think, am I doing that? Am I, or you tell your friend, am I doing that?
See, that's the better way.
No, I'm not doing it. Ask somebody else. Ask your godmother, god sister. Yeah, well, I noticed, you know. What do you mean? What about you? The loving exchanges. Loving exchanges, you have to, you know, tell the truth, nothing but the truth and the whole truth. So kadava vishyati, when will that moment come? Not like we're hanking for, you know, when am I going to get a new watch? When am I going to get the iPhone 6 Plus? When will that day be mine? Well, wait a minute, I want to be in the mood of Mahaprabhu. Kadava vishyati, when will the tears come? Varanam garagarav dayam gira, when will my voice falter when I chant the holy name? And Pulakaya Nikitam Babu. It's way down the road, but it can be achieved. Now, one important point, of course, that we should mention, and I'm sure Srila Prabhupada would expect this, that we shouldn't imitate. Because if you see someone like that, they receive a lot of honor. Oh, oh. So we have to be careful that we don't imitate such symptoms so that we get this honor. I have no desire for name, thing of this as well. These things come after a lifetime or lifetimes of purification and awakening the love of God. So there was a, once in the early days, the movement, it's actually 26 Second Avenue. Devotees were having kirtan. Prabhupada wasn't present. I think he was in the West Coast at that time. And some Indian gentleman came, and in the midst of the kirtan, he started crying. And he fell on the ground and started shaking. Krishna, Krishna. This is the early days. The devotees didn't know what to make of it. Oh my gosh, is that what Prabhupada was talking about? Wow. The Brahmananda, he's real smart. Real smart fellow. Big fellow. He got on the phone. He called Prabhupada in San Francisco. He said, right now, Prabhupada, we're having this kirtan, you know. Gargamuni's playing the Radunga, and somebody's playing the kartals, and one Indian gentleman walked in, and he fell down on the ground crying, Krishna, Krishna, rolling. So, what do we do? Is it real? So Prabhupada, knowing pretty much for certain he must be a pretender, he said, okay, do this. Go give him a good kick in his ribs. The Prabhupada said, if he's genuine, he won't even take notice. But if he's pretending, he'll get up and walk away, and that's exactly what happens. Brahmananda gave him a good kick in the ribs. So it's actually good that the devotees called Srila Prabhupada to inquire if the man was sincere or not, because it takes an advanced devotee to actually understand the subject matter very deeply. One time Prabhupada confirmed these ecstatic symptoms in a devotee. We were at the installation of the Radha Krishna deities in Hyderabad. I don't remember what year it was, 74, 75. After the Mayapur Festival, Prabhupada went to install these, probably the biggest Radha Krishna deities in ISKCON. They're really tall and beautiful. And they were installed in South India, our Hyderabad temple. We had a temple in the city and a farm outside the city. So Prabhupada agreed to install the deities. So afterwards, we all went to Hyderabad in the train. Prabhupada didn't fly. He went with us. Because when Prabhupada desired association, he desired the association of his disciples. So we went on the train, it was a long train ride, and then there's a ceremony. And I remember very clearly at the ceremony, the deities were installed and there was a Sundararti, and after the Sundararti, Kachutnanda took the drum. Namaste Narasimhaya. Like that. And Dhamma. And the kirtan really got going. I don't know, the other sofa, I went inside the tunnel. And there was, because it was such a prestigious event, the temple management had invited, you know, the governor of whatever state that is, and this, and you know how they do in India, so, and they invited the heavy Hovalimath. The Hovalimath is where Sringadeva was worshipped. They probably said he appeared there in one yuga, and thus there's nine temples, and there's the, they say there's the original pillar that Sringadeva appeared from, the Stamba. Ugra Shtamba's there. I've been there. I took a piece of the pillar. And in the Brahmanda Purana, it's mentioned that that's Tadiya. It's non-different than it's part of the original pastime, so it can be worshipped. So the head of that mafi, very old sadhu, he'd been there many years, and he was in charge of the worship of the Lord. The Lord is worshipped in nine caves. In a whole, it's like in the jungle, the forest. It's, now it's more easily accessible. In those days, it wasn't so easy to get to. And I'd actually, later on, I went there and was able to visit those temples. Quite an experience. But this very prominent person, well-known, Sringabhakta, he was invited. And I remember he was sitting back against the wall, and we were, you know, the kirtan had going. And suddenly he went into this ecstasy and he started roaring like a lion. I saw the boys, the young boys, you know, the other day, during the kirtan, they had this little scene where somebody lay down on the lap of one devotee and then they put their claws like that. Nobody used to do that when I was young too. But this acharya, is actually an acharya, when the name of the Sringadeva was chanted, he went into this ecstatic, and he was crying and roaring, and we're looking at him, you know, feeling the ecstasy of his Lord. And afterwards, Chitnanda asked Prabhupada, now, should we have stopped that? Prabhupada said, no, that was genuine. He was a genuine devotee. And Prabhupada, I remember Prabhupada was looking at him. Nowadays, hard to find, but there was Prabhupada confirmed that in his particular mood as a devotee of the Sringadeva, he was experiencing the ecstatic symptoms of the Sringabhakta, I guess, of an experience. So I thought that was interesting. It takes a self-realized devotee to be able to teach us what is right and what is wrong. There's another example we can give of devotees perceiving, being able to perceive these ecstatic symptoms properly or improperly. That's in the disappearance pastime of Madhavendra Puri. As you know, Madhavendra Puri came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he actually began explaining his deeper understanding of Krishna consciousness that we were talking about in our first lecture, how Mahaprabhu introduced this understanding of the gopis' love for Krishna, and that Vrindavan is considered the most holy place, and so forth and so on. So Madhavendra Puri, on his deathbed, he was calling out to Krishna in this mood of genuine separation. Very famous verse. Aidina Dayadra Natahe Mathura Natakada Valokshaste Hridayam Dvad Aloka Kataram Daita Vanyati Kim Karunyaham, which means, O Lord, whose heart is melted with mercy for the distressed. Wow, that's you and me, we're the distressed. O Lord, whose heart is melted with mercy for the distressed. O Lord of Mathura, when shall I see you again? In separation from you, my broken heart reels. O Beloved, what shall I do now? We used to sing this verse on Sankirtan. Oh my gosh. The highest understanding of Vipralambhava, feeling separated from Krishna, we would paraphrase it. O my Lord, O gracious to the lowly, thou art now living in Mathura. When will you come to me, O darling mine? My heart is burning in pains of separation. O what shall I do? O what shall I do? O, we used to sing this on Sankirtan. Oh darling mine, we're addressing Krishna. Oh darling mine, my heart is burning and pains are separate. We didn't know what we were singing about, but we thought that was like awesome. And then we sing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. In one sense, the devotee is calling out, but specifically, the advanced devotees, they feel like that. So, Madhavendra Puri, who introduced this higher understanding of these ecstatic advanced feelings of Vipralamba Bhav, and he had one disciple, I believe his name, I can be corrected, Ramchandra Puri. Yeah, Ramchandra Puri. He's saying, Guru Maharaj, you're lamenting on the deathbed. You know, the devotee is free from hankering and lamenting. He took it like that. He couldn't understand the deeper ecstatic. So he thought his guru, at the final end, was crying out of lamentation. You're not supposed to lament. You're supposed to be transcendental to hankering and lamenting, like it says in the Bhagavad Gita. So his guru Maharaj paused for a moment and said, you rascal, go away. So he couldn't, although he was a disciple, he hadn't imbibed the teachings of the spiritual master. It's not automatic. You get the knowledge, but it's not forced upon. It's like a magic wand. You understand it. You have to take it and apply it. Tadviri paripatena paripashana sevaya upadekshanti teginam ganinashtatva darshana. Just try to learn these truths by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from them submissively. Then what? Paripashana sevaya. Serve. And thus all this knowledge will be revealed to you. Paripashana. Inquire, what is this? And then you do some service. You render some service. And in reciprocation, the knowledge is revealed to you. So it's not automatic. You just get it and understand it. So this so-called disciple, Ramachandra Puri, perhaps he hadn't served, he hadn't read that verse in Bhagavad Gita, probably he's quoting the Gita, but he didn't really get it. Paripashana. Inquire, then do something. Clean the pots, you know, take care of the cows, plow the fields, make garlands, go on sangatana, do something, serve, take that knowledge, and then in appreciation to your spiritual master, do some seva. It's that service that purifies the heart. It's the service that turns jnana into vijnana. You have to work very hard in Krishna consciousness, to hear intensely and serve intensely. But there was another disciple standing by, and as his Guru Maharaj was speaking like that, he understood that it was Ishwara Puri. He was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And he, after Ramchandra Puri was sent away, he came forward and in a very humble mood he began to serve his Guru Maharaj in his last days. It's described that he would even change, you know, when you're dying like that, you can't take care of yourself. So he would clean up the stool and urine of his spiritual master lying on his deathbed. Very menial service, but he understood his exalted position. And for that seva, he was awarded the service of becoming the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ishwara Puri. So we see these things, but we have to see these things through proper authority, not the Ramchandra Puris, but the Ishwara Puris, who can explain them properly and how we can gradually advance to that goal. Like that, we need the advice. How to understand this verse properly. Oh Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of nothing all day. Prabhupada was speaking on this verse one time in France, as many of you know, on the lawn outside the chateau, he was speaking. How a devotee feels, you know, separation from Krishna at every moment. He gave a short lecture. Then he asked for questions. So more or less I wanted to attract the attention of my spiritual master, so many devotees in Germany and Italy, and because I wanted Prabhupada to know that I existed. So I raised my hand. How am I going to ask? So, you know, I got a little intelligence there somehow, and I said, Srila Prabhupada, you are explaining so nicely this verse from the Shikshasa from prayers where Lord Chaitanya, the mood of the devotees, saying that he's feeling separation from Krishna. But then again, you've also explained in other lectures that the pure devotee sees Krishna everywhere. He's so advanced. He sees everything, even the material energy, he sees it as Krishna's energy. So just seeing something related to Krishna makes he's so much in love that he remembers Krishna by seeing a forest. Like a mother made her baby maybe somewhere, but she sees the shoes of her baby and, oh, heartbeat, boom, boom, my baby, some shoes. So I said, you know, you've explained in other lectures how the devotee sees Krishna everywhere, so I don't understand. How is it that in one sense, devotee is feeling separation, and on another hand, he sees Krishna? I don't know, it seems contradictory. So Prabhupada looked at me like a long time. He said, yes, he said, this is a deep subject matter, he said. Krishna's disappearing from his devotee, he said, to make the devotee mad for Krishna. Then he stopped, he said, but these things cannot be understood now at your level of Krishna consciousness. You will understand these things when you are at a more advanced stage. That was it. So, I still haven't got there yet, I remember that incident. It was in my mind, but I didn't remember the exact words because I was only a kid. I was like 23 or some 24 or so. And then one of my old friends, Vishnumurti Prabhu, who's developed this called Vanapedia, you know, going through all of Prabhupada's teachings, his books, his lectures, and morning walks, and assembling all that knowledge in a categorical way. It's really nice, Vanapedia. In that research, they go through lecture tapes. So one morning I get up and go on my computer, and then there's this sound bite, you know, sound bite. He sends me a sound bite. And he said, Sinajan Raj, you're going to love this. I turned it on, and there it is. Somebody recorded me asking Prabhupada that question. And Prabhupada, you can't imagine how much happiness I felt. That moment, you know, it's immortalized in the sound bite. And I've got it on my computer, and before my show every morning I put it on. That Prabhupada gave this fallen, conditioned soul a few moments of his valuable time. He's has such an intimate relationship with Krishna and the spiritual and so busy preaching. But for that moment in time, there was that connection, the guru and disciple, and he's speaking. So I still don't understand, but just, it was wonderful. And I thought I could bring it up because it's related to this verse in that way. So again, when one comes to this exalted state, he'll feel separation and will manifest it, as we explained above. Yeah, that's what's coming, really. Nayanam galad ashru daraya. Tears of streams running down the eyes, crying. And so therefore Gogavinda Maharaj, who was, you know, quite direct in his preaching, he just went straight to the point, no holds barred, you know, didn't care about public opinion, just said it as it is. In Bhubaneswar during one festival, you know, a newspaper reporter came, you know, a young man, just for a simple interview, you know, why do you shave your heads, you know, why do you wear tea off, something very simple. And he said, Swamiji, can you explain the goal of your practices in one simple sentence?
Well, am I? Yes.
The goal? Crying. I was told that the newspaper reporter just kind of, you want me to print that?
Yeah.
So that comes from separation. So Krishna's so tricky, he goes away, and our attachment becomes stronger. Sometimes he goes away for a short time, sometimes he never comes back. Who can explain that? I don't understand, but when we do Govardhan Parikrama and we get down to the southern tip of the Giriraj Govardhan, and go around the corner there, there's a deity of a devotee called Lotababa, and he's looking towards Mathura. So I've been seeing that deity since the 70s. He's still looking. And he has this mood on his face of great expectation, great hankering. And what happened is that when, you know, 5,000 years ago, the word spread,
You know, rumors spread, they go really quick. And bad news travels faster than good news. But the bad news was that Akura had come to Vrindavan to take Krishna and Balaram for a wrestling match. And what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that as much as you're attached to something or some concept or someone, when you're separated, to the degree of your attachment, you feel the separation. So the residents of Vrindavan, as we often say, they love Krishna more than anyone's ever been loved before. Their love is ananda, buddhi-bhava. It's always increasing, increasing, increasing. We don't understand this concept, because in this world everything has a beginning and a middle and an end. But their love's always increasing. So how much love to the infinity of time to these residents of Vrindavan? For Krishna. So the rumor spread that he's going away. So you can say, I'll be back in a few days. But, you know, if you really love someone, even to be separated for a moment can be like torture on the spiritual platform. So that's why Mahaprabhu says, oh, good, then you're feeling yourself, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. So everybody got really like, no, he's not going to go, is he? He'll be right back. Yeah, but he's going. They couldn't bear to have him outside their vision for a moment. So one coward boy, Lota Baba, he went to Krishna and said, is it true you're going? Yes, but I'll be right back. No, but you're going? Yes, but I'll be right back. But you're going to go? So Lota Baba, he followed the chariot, you know. Guru came up with Krishna on the chariot, and he followed that past the Govardhan Hill. So Lota Baba, he said to Krishna, I'm going to wait right here. And I'm not going to move until you come back. He's still there. The deity is not different than the personality. So when we go there, and you know, we sometimes just sit at the lotus feet of Lota Baba. He's in that great expectation, hoping that we can have a drop of that intensity of feeling separation. He's a very famous deep Lota Baba. Still there. 5,000 years, he's been waiting there. He's so determined. One sadhu explained to me that Lota Baba is the color of Hanumanji, because Hanuman is the embodiment of determination. Isn't that nice? Lota Baba has the color of Hanuman because Hanuman is the embodiment of determination. He's so determined. I'm not going to do anything else until my friend comes back. Nothing else wants him. So there was another cowherd boy, Sridham. Sridham is the brother of Radharani, Vipala. So he's a special cowherd boy. Cowherd boys are just boys. Boys are boys. And frogs and tails and frogs and snails and puppy dog tails. And girls are sugar and spice and everything that's nice. So they're different. So the boys, you know, they wrestle, and Krishna, he kind of goes away. And where'd he go? Those girls again. Oh, gosh. But there's some boys, like Sridham, they are special cowherd boys, and they, understanding the desire of their friend's heart, they carry messages sometimes back and forth between Krishna and Radha. They're special boys. Yeah. So Sridham's very, very close to Krishna. He knows what's going on. And he had a similar experience that when Krishna was taken away by Akura to Vrindavan, but he was so determined, I'm going with him. And he convinced some of the boys. So when Krishna went from Vrindavan to Mathura, the gopis all had to stay behind because they're village girls. And in that society, girls, you know, they were always under the protection of their parents, and later their husbands, and then later their elder sons. But a girl didn't have that independence. She could just, you know, go to Mathura. You know, she had household duties and this and that, and you know, the boys were there, so you know. So the girls had to stay home, but the boys, they could go. And the boys, you know, rah 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 rah, Krishna is going to fight. You know,
Mustique and Tara, we know our Krishna's going to win. We don't care how big the boy's going to go and see him. Beat him up. Yeah, woo! So all the coward boys, you know, hundreds, thousands of them, they all assembled. And they were allowed to go with their fathers, you know, while the residents went there. So, to make a long story short, because we'd like to just keep speaking forever about this, but it's not enough time. After Krishna and Balaram killed the two wrestlers, well, killed Kubalya Peter first, that was fun, big elephant, bam, bam, bam. Then there was the washerman pastime, and you know, the boys having a good time. And then Kamsa was killed. So then Krishna, in order to Purita Naya son Vinashayata Dukstritam, he says, he comes to annihilate demons. So because there were a lot of demons still out there, and he was afraid for his the residents of Vrindavan, he'd experienced so many demons are coming. So he thought, I have to annihilate these demons to protect my devotees. So he went on to Dwarka, that city of Dwarka was established. And from there he would go out and fight demons and so forth. He became like royal king. So the residents of Vrindavan, they left Mathura to go back to Vrindavan. So when Sridhar returned to Vrindavan, while Krishna was going to Dwarka, it's described by the Acharyas, he just tried to continue life without Krishna. But it wasn't possible. Rupa Goswami says, how does a body continue to live without its soul? Like if your soul leaves your body doesn't live. So what is the soul of the devotees of Vrindavan? It's Krishna. So you take Krishna out of Vrindavan, Vrindavan has its soulless. So how does the body continue to live without its soul? Krishna is the life and soul of the devotees of Braj. Prandhane Jayaratha Govinda Radha Govinda Radhe Rupa Goswami Prandhane. Radha Govinda Prandhane means it's the life and soul of Rupa Goswami. Jaya Radha Damodara Radha Damodara Radhe Jiva Goswami Prandhane. Sorry, that. Damodara is the life and soul of Jiva Goswami. So you take Krishna out of Vrindavan, and then how do the residents continue? How do they bear the suffering? So Sridham, he just kind of like lost it. They were playing every day, they had get up, take their bath, and then go herd the cows with Krishna and come home and tell their parents all the things Krishna, hey, he killed this big snake today. Wow! He killed this big duck, Mom. And then Krishna's gone. The center of their life, the soul that left the body. So Sridham went to Bandiravan forest. There's 12 forests. He went to Bandiravan. Because that was where he played many wonderful games with Krishna. That was the forest where they'd sit with their lunch bags, you know, and they'd steal each other's, like steal Krishna's lunch bag and like that. So because he could remember those pastimes were so fresh in his mind, he went to Bandiravan and he lived there alone beneath the trees of Bandiravan and sustained his life by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And day after day, Sridham just waited for Krishna to return, because Krishna told him he would. When they parted ways in Mathura, Sridham asked Krishna, can you tell us exactly how long it's going to be till you come back from Dwarka? So Krishna, like he said to many of the residents, it's just going to take me a few days to kill some demons, I'll be right back. So Sridham looked straight into Krishna's eyes. But Krishna couldn't meet his glance because he knew it would be longer than a few days. So Sridham said to Krishna, brother, until you return, I will not eat or drink. Pulling the heartstrings of Krishna. Krishna pulls the heartstrings of his devotee. The devotee pulls the heart string. This is love, isn't it? You have your loving relationships. You know, husband and wife, the little things you do to make your husband, you know. Okay, say I love you. I love you. Right? So this is on the transcendental platform. So Sridham said, until you return, brother, I'm not going to eat or drink. Now these words alarmed Krishna. The last thing he wanted his friends to do was to add these self-imposed austerities, you could say, already to the pain of separation. It's like adding insult to injury. It's like, that's like over the top. They're already going to be feeling separation. Now they're going to fast, not drink water. So Krishna couldn't bear that. And he grabbed Sridhar's hand and he said, don't make me suffer. But his stubborn friend, Sridhar, said, well, since you're only going to be gone for a few days, what's a little fasting? And I'll feast when you return. You know, we're hankering for loving relationships, and we think we're finding it in this mundane world, society, friendship, and love. And we do need these relationships, you know, to keep us, while we're in this world, but in our heart of hearts, this is the relationship we want with Krishna. And it'll be like it is here, but there it'll be much sweeter. It'll never stop. So they had this exchange, so as the caravan of the Brajabasis, you know, pulled out of Mathura back to Vrindavan, Sridham was in one of the caravans, and Krishna was there in Mathura, waving goodbye to the residents of Vrindavan, getting ready to go to Dwarka. Sridham turned back and looked at Krishna, and he called out, Krishna, my friend, I'll be waiting for you in Bandiravan. When you return to Braja, do not forget me. And I'm not going to eat until I see your lotus face again, don't forget it. So there's different explanations, you know, if Krishna ever came back or didn't come back. And we hear, I never came back. Devotees are hoping he'd come back. I see the residents, particularly the gopis, they went to Kurukshetra on occasion of a solar eclipse. Solar eclipse is not very inauspicious, so people go to auspicious places so they don't get affected by the eclipse. So big solar eclipse coming, so it was heard that the residents of Dwarka, they were going to go to Kurukshetra, which has been a holy place actually since time immemorial. It's not just a battlefield, it's a very holy place. That's why the battle was fought on that holy land, so the Pandavas would have an advantage. So the residents of Dwarka, they said, well, when the eclipse comes, let's go to Kurukshetra. So they went, and when the residents of Vrindavan heard that the Dwarkavasis had gone to Kurukshetra, hey, that's not far away. I actually just realized that, you know. I'd never been to Kurukshetra, so I'm always thinking, you know, how to engage our devotees during the Kartik Parikrama, which we do every year in Vrindavan. So it's a little just variety. Let's go someplace else. We used to go to Jaipur. Look on the map, Kurukshetra is just a couple of hours from Delhi. Hey. Let's go there. We did. We had a wonderful time there this last Kartik. So like that, the residents found out, well, Krishna's been going, oh, coming to us, we'll go to him. So they did. The Bhajabasis went. And they were just, you know, their Krishna was a coward boy with a ladu in his hand, the peacock feather, dressed very simply. And they got there to Kurukshetra, and this army comes up, and the head of the army is on a big white horse with a crown and, you know, royal symbols, and it's Krishna. No, that's not Krishna. Yes, it is. I think that's Krishna. No, it's not Krishna. So Krishna met with the various residents, and he met with the gopis, and they were like, what are you doing? What are you trying to pretend to be some big man or something? You're just a coward boy. We know your heart. You've got a very soft heart. You're not Kshatriya. We've seen you cry out of lust for us girls. Can you come back? So in the theology of our Sampradaya, Krishna agreed to come back. There's different ways it's explained. So that ceremony with the Brajabasis, after such a long, you know, moments, 12 years or more, he was gone for ages. You know, there were so many battles fought and so many pastimes in Dwarka. Krishna, he said, okay, I'll come back. Can you imagine? We often sing that song. When Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah, hurrah. When Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah, hurrah. For the boys will sing and the girls will dance and everybody else will dance. Oh, we'll all be gay when Johnny comes march. You know, these are mundane, perverted reflections. We get all involved in these emotions and our whole life just centers around that. And they don't often work because of selfish desires, and the disease comes and death comes and...
Ah!
But in the spiritual world, these things happen, but the devotion for the most lovable personality increases, and the past, the sambhog, the meeting and the separation, how wonderful it is. So you can imagine these true feelings of the heart, the real thought of Krishna. He separated and he said, okay, I'll come. So that's Ratha Yatra. We think Rocky Melbourne, you know, we're going to get out there and everybody in Melbourne is going to see us. And what's the deeper meaning? Dragging Krishna back into the hearts, their hearts, taking him. Can you imagine that? They put him on chariots, you know, that's the original chariots. Krishna Balaram Subhadra and the residents, they pulled the ropes and took Krishna back to Vrindavan. Some acharyas said he never came back, so that their loving sentiments just increase and increase. Oh, I don't like that one. Anyway, maybe I will, who knows. And Jiva Goswami says he did come back, but in unmanifest form, because there's prakat and aprakat. It means the manifest, you can see Krishna, but then there's the hidden pastimes. Just as real, but not a manifest to the external vision. Krishna comes back and engages in past. In fact, he never left Vrindavan. I'm getting really deep here. he stayed in his unmanifest pastime and continued his pastimes. So there's many angles of vision. It's quite deep. So in this case, the Sri Dham said, I'll be waiting for you in Bandiravan, and when you return, then I'll begin eating again. So Krishna came back, and when he did, first thing he went to find Sri Dham in Bandiravan. To do that, Krishna had to cross the Jamuna in his chariot, or he crossed the river, then he took his chariot, and the chariot couldn't go any farther in the forest because Sri Dham was very deep in there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Just as we chant Hare Krishna to reestablish our relationship with Krishna, right? Knock, knock, knock on heaven's door. You knock on someone's door, they'll answer it. So we're, Krishna, please take me out of this world, establish me as an Adam at your lotus feet. So just as the devotee reestablishes the relationship, so in separation, he mitigates the separation by feeling Krishna present in the sound of his name. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. So chanting goes on in the neophyte stage, in the intermediate stage, and in the advanced stage. The favorite song of the residents of Vrindavan is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So therefore the acharyas have said the chanting is both the means and the end. There's no end, but in the higher stage. Well, we're thank the Lord, we'll be chanting Hare Krishna forever. We can have kirtans like that in the spiritual sky, and we will, they'll be even better. But we have so much to look forward to. So Krishna came back and he went and he crossed over the Jamuna River, then he went on foot, and he searched for the Gopa's favorite lunchtime pastime places. And he found Sri Dham beneath the tree, eyes closed, meditating like a yogi while chanting Krishna's name. And this symptom of love of God was there. He was crying, and all the clothes were wet from crying, tears flowing. So he was just living, maintaining his life by chanting. And Rupa Goswami says that because of that deep immersion in Krishna consciousness, Sri Dham looked very youthful, although his body was very lean from fasting. His hair was disheveled and unkempt, and his clothes faded like a jogi. We also do yoga, but different place. He was looking like that, but he didn't have time to take care of the body. Like the Goswamis, Prabhupada said the Goswamis were a little sickly. I heard him say that on a tape. because they neglected their body, because they were so much immersed in the activity of the heart of their hearts and just chanting and offering obeisance to their devotees, visiting holy. They didn't have time to take care of their body, so they're a little skinny, sometimes a little sickly. It was very advanced. So Krishna, when he saw Sridham under that tree in Mandiravan, he saw his friend's austere appearance. He tried to wake up Sridham from his ecstatic meditation. He said, "Friend, I've returned. I've returned." So Sridham was deep in meditation, and he heard Krishna's voice, but he thought it was part of his internal vision. So he just kept on chanting, because you're connected to Krishna if you're chanting. So keep telling the young people, you do what you have to do, school, get ready for career, but leave the door open. Don't close the door on Krishna. You're going to need Krishna at later stages of your life. You need him now, but you're going to really need him later. So don't close the door. Leave the door open. Chant at least a couple of rounds every day. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
But after festivals like this, very often I see the young boys and girls, they start chanting 16 rounds. They don't want to lose that experience. Same experience that we had here, you can get that to some degree by fulfilling that vow of chanting. And these kids have this taste, you know, they really don't want to lose it. So somehow or other, amidst their scholarly studies and their social life, they start chanting and they get it. And they want to stay connected. And even at young age, they sometimes take initiation. So he just went on chanting. But Krishna said, "My friend Sridham, open your eyes, I'm here." So gradually Sridham opened his eyes, the lotus eyes, and he saw Krishna standing before him, dressed not like a gopa, but as a king. Krishna didn't have time to change his clothes. So Krishna said, "See, I told you I'd come back in just a few days." He's joking with him. So Rupa Goswami says, Sridham rose to his feet. He examined his friend closely, just to be sure this wasn't a dream. And sometimes, like last night, I'm pinching myself. Is this real? Stage diving? Prahlad just went on and on, and he'd already led a kirtan that day. He went on and on, and then when I thought, I can't go anymore, Prahlad started again. So I pinched myself. I just like this kirtan to go on forever. So Sridham wrote, he rose and he examined his friend closely, and then he warmly embraced his friend Krishna. And Sridham repeatedly, he described it, but he really repeatedly caressed Krishna's arms, his back, and his shoulders, just to reassure himself that he wasn't dreaming and Krishna had physically returned. And then as Sridham held his friend Krishna to his chest, the satisfaction of tightly holding on to what Rupa describes as that condensed form of bliss. You know, bliss. But this Krishna's body is a condensed form of bliss. This drove all the emptiness away from the heart of Sridham, and he wept out loud in happiness. So the acharyas say that Krishna would leave again, and he would return again. Rupa Goswami says that separation from and meeting Krishna eternally alternate like changing seasons. I don't know your seasons here, but in Europe we have probably the same. We have summer, then we have autumn, then winter, then spring, then summer. So each of those seasons is different. They even exist in the spiritual world. All, I think it's six seasons actually, exist in Vrindavan simultaneously. Here we have to wait. Too hot! When's autumn going to come? And then winter's a nice season, so when's it going to come? But in Vrindavan, for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna, everything's so nicely arranged. Purnamasi, she's in charge of all that, arranging the pastimes. Radha and Krishna and their associates, they can go from summer in the afternoon, they can go to winter, and then spring, and then summer, and all they can alternate. That's the spiritual world. Perfect and complete. So as he gives us, as but here as the seasons alternate. So Rupa says, separation from and meeting with Krishna eternally alternate like changing seasons. And this cycle of separation and meeting enriches the love between Radha, between Krishna and his companions. Deep. By cultivating this mood, he says, our own attachment to Krishna will increase until it becomes like Sridharam's. So our acharyas have a master plan for us, that we can come to the stage by, you know, similarly we're experiencing so many different varieties of Krishna consciousness. We also experience, you know, meeting and separation, don't we? We're just, you know, we're like kids, but we get the idea of, you know, it was so nice to be with the devotees, and I can separate and come back again. So we're getting, you know, in each other's association with these principles are beginning to awaken and they mature. And Rupa says, by cultivating this mood, our own attachment to Krishna increases until we become like Sridhar. So he's a special devotee. You can remember him. Raghunath Das Goswami prays, Sridhar Sakha is the most expert and clever of the cowherd boys of Braja. He is the abode of the most intense love for Krishna. His complexion is dark and he is proud that his qualities, age, clothing, and handsome features closely resemble that of his beloved friends. If for a single moment Sridhar cannot see Krishna, whom he considers more dear than his own life, he trembles with anxiety. And Raghunath Das Goswami says, I completely take shelter of Sridhar, the constant companion of the Lord. All this pastime illustrates the deep love that the residents of Vrindavan have for Krishna and that Krishna has for his devotees. And by hearing this, we lose our attachment to the false pleasures of this world, and we develop a hankering to join them. And that we can do primarily by following the instructions of Shikshastakam, which is really centered around chanting the holy names. The first verse again, that we studied that quite deeply, how it glorifies the congregational chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
That is the process. When we've been doing that, I think we've been doing it very nicely. I hope that our kirtans and katas and association have given pleasure to Srila Prabhupada and our previous acharyas, and they'll give us just one drop of an understanding of these deeper modes of Krishna consciousness. And one day we'll join these eternal devotees, Nitya Siddhas, in the spiritual sky. And Prabhupada said, possibly, he said, one day we'll have our ISKCON in the spiritual sky, and we won't be discussing and analyzing these things, we'll just be participating in them with the residents of Vrindavan. Thus we conclude our seminar on the 8 instructions given to us by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Shikshastakam prayers ki, Sacred Sounds Festival 2016 ki, 2017 key, 2018 key, forever key.